Good evening and welcome to the Aurora Grande City Council special meeting, Thursday, December 17th, 2015. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Brown.
Yes.
Councilmember Burnage.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon.
Here.
And Mayor Hill.
Here. If you please stand and join us with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. This being a special meeting, public comment, in a regularly scheduled meeting, we invite public comment on items that are not on the agenda. At a special meeting, we have to limit the comments to only things that are on the agenda. So at this time, if anyone would like to comment on the agenda item for this evening, please feel free to do so.
Hold on. Was Diane going to make an announcement ahead of time, I think?
Mayor Hill, we should probably do the staff report prior to public comment.
Okay. Let's do that. And please, if you would present that.
Good evening, Mayor Hill and City Council. I'll start with some good news that we found out yesterday. At the SLOCOG board meeting yesterday morning, the board unanimously approved the Briscoe project retain our full $6.6 million in funding, with $3.3 million in 2017-18 and $3.3 million in 2018-19. Kudos to our staff for this accomplishment of retaining our funding, because there was quite a bit of regional pressure to borrow funding from currently funded projects to fund some new projects, so that's great news. Community Development Director Teresa McClish and City Engineer Matt Horn work closely with SLOCOG staff, and I think we're helpful in making that happen. Additionally, kudos to our electeds, Council Member Jim Guthrie, who sits as the city's representative on the SLOCOG board, and Mayor Jim Hill, who spoke at the SLOCOG board meeting yesterday in support of our project. So great news on our funding. Tonight's topic is discussion of consideration by the Council of extension of the test ramp closure at Briscoe. And I'll just give a little overview of the topic for this evening and then hand it off to City Engineer Matt Horn. Following Mayor Hill's request for consideration of this item on November 30th, staff began researching the possibility of an extended closure with Caltrans staff. In my conversation with Caltrans, they provided preliminary verbal approval of an extension of the closure. Our staff have prepared that extension request, and with council concurrence this evening, we will submit the request tomorrow morning and anticipate a prompt response from Caltrans due to the verbal committal that we received last week. So with that, I will turn it over to City Engineer Matt Horn to provide a project update and some detailed information for you.
Thank you. So just a real brief summary of where we've been. So the Briscoe Road US 101 project has been in the works for since the late 1990s. Currently, we're in the project approval and environmental document phase of the project with three alternatives. Those alternatives are a no-build, of course. Alternative one, which does some which closes the Briscoe, the northbound Briscoe, on an off-ramp. Complete some intersection improvements at Camino Mercado and Grand Avenue, and also widens the Grand Avenue Bridge over US 101. And, of course, we have another alternative, Alternative 4C Roundabout, which relocates the northbound ramps at Briscoe to West Branch Street at Rodeo Drive, complete some intersection improvements at Grace Lane and Rodeo Drive, and complete some intersection improvements at Grand Avenue 101 as well. To date, we have spent just under $2.2 million moving this project forward. So you've seen this slide before. It's kind of a brief overview of the Caltrans project process. It's a four-phase process in that we go through a project initiation phase. We are in the second phase, which is the project approval and environmental document phase. Then we'll go into detailed design after we're through with this phase, and then finally construction. So to review our schedule, our anticipated schedule, we are anticipating submitting the draft project report to Caltrans later this month. We're anticipating having our NEPA environmental assessment to Caltrans in late January 2016. That would put us on track for a public review of the NEPA CEQA document in spring of 2016. So with that said, summer 2016 would be when the council, the city, the community selects the preferred alternative or recommends the preferred alternative. And we should have a signed project report sometime in fall 2016. With the signed project report in fall, we could also begin our design process at that same time. Our construction funding right now is currently scheduled for fiscal year 17-18 for approximately $3.3 million, and then 18-19 for approximately that same amount, $3.3 million. So environmental document. So our environmental document for the project, we need to comply with both state and federal requirements. So our state document is the California Environmental Quality Act, the CEQA document, and our National Environmental Protection Policy Act, NEPA document. So our CEQA document is a initial study and mitigated negative declaration, and that document is complete. Earlier in October 12th, during a subcommittee meeting with Caltrans, the city learned that our environmental document would be a NEPA EA or a NEPA environmental assessment. So that document's a little bit more robust than what we were anticipating developing. Mayor Hill and some members of council requested some additional information on our project alternatives and what is the trigger for the NEPA EA document. And so the trigger is if we have alternative 4, C roundabout, alternative 1, and the no build alternatives packaged together, that requires the city to complete a NEPA EA document. If we wanted to eliminate alternative 4C, we would need to revise our CEQA document. We could then prepare a NEPA CE document, a categorical exclusion document, and Caltrans would likely sign off on that when the project report is complete. So a little update on the test closure. So on September 8th, council met to review the plan for our test closure. And so at that point in time, we're anticipating the test closure to start on September 21st and end on November 30th. Rain delayed our start, which also then delayed our termination date. So instead of starting on September 21st, we started on September 29th, and we anticipated reopening the ramps on December 7th. On October 27th, we met and discussed the closure termination time frame and moved it from December 7th to January 11th. And subsequently, on December 4th, 2015, the Briscoe Subcommittee met to discuss test closure termination dates. So feedback. So the city has an email address at briscoe@arroyogranny.org, and we've received 195 email contacts to that email address. And so it's not 100%. All the feedback that comes into the city doesn't make it into this email address. But if it comes in and around, you know, staff that are connected to the project, we try to forward that information to this email address. And so far we have 195 contacts in there. 73% of those contacts have been very positive towards the closure. 16% have been negative. And 10% of the contacts really didn't express an opinion for it, the closure, or against the closure, but had other suggestions on what we can do in lieu of what we're doing now or different ideas for a final project. And that's kind of summarized in this graphic right here where the blue is the positive, the red is the negative, and the green is the other.
Couple comments on the test closure rider. The rider is the request that the city would make to Caltrans for extension of the closure. Last week I spoke with Tim Gubbins, who is the Caltrans District Director for our district, and he provided a preliminary verbal approval of a potential extended closure of the Briscoe on and off ramps. And he also indicated that Caltrans would be open to discussing a further extended closure through construction, and that Caltrans would try to expedite their approval process on our behalf. So as previously mentioned, the formal extension request, or the rider as it's called, has been prepared by staff and is ready to be submitted to Caltrans tomorrow morning, pending council concurrence this evening. And with the support that has been indicated from our project partners at Caltrans, I believe that we will receive a written response to that request faster than the usual Caltrans, response time, which is sometimes lengthy pending or depending on what their workload is and their process.
And then finally, our closure plan. So initially when we set out with our closure plan, we were thinking that we were going to close the ramps, do some study, open the ramps back up, and report the results out to council. But pending requests to extend the closure, we've developed the six-month rider extension, and we're ready to submit that to Caltrans pending council's direction or time frame requirements. And then also we're preparing to return to council on February 23rd to review the data that we've obtained through the test closure, the analysis that's complete, and also do a well-publicized, well-notified public forum to discuss the project's next steps. And so that work plan is kind of formalized in these staff recommendations to council. And with that, I'm available for questions.
Thank you very much for the report. Questions for staff? I'll start with Council Member Brown.
Just a few quick questions. Have you had any discussions with police, fire, or ambulance about the closure? And if so, what was the response? And then secondly, where did the six-month period come from? Was it just time so that we could maybe have to go back again, or could we pick for a longer time? Or just, I'm just trying to get the logic behind it.
So we have heard from police and fire and our police chiefs here this evening. The closure hasn't impaired response times. In fact, I've heard some positive comments from the closure from our emergency services staff. The six-month closure request time frame, it was really twofold. Really, one is to give us some time to make decisions on what we want to do next. Two, to give the public and Caltrans more of a set date that's further out so people aren't anticipating the ramps being open in a couple of weeks. And third, that will line up well with our environmental document completion timeframe, and that will allow us to explore other alternatives.
Other alternatives in terms of leaving it open or closing it, or
closing
it or leaving it open?
We have the option to leave it open right now. The options that would be available to us after the environmental is complete would be a more robust closure, a constructed closure, or whatever alternative we choose to implement.
Great. I appreciate your comments, and thanks for your efforts.
Clarification on your question. Did you mean leave it open or leave it closed?
Well, I guess I just was curious why an environmental document would necessarily change that, but I guess I'll see when it comes forward. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't leave it closed, but your comments seem to indicate that we might choose another route given the environmental document.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe should I explain a little bit better? Right now we're putting in we're asking for authorization to put in a rider request to keep the ramps closed, and so that would be a closure with the cones and the stuff that's up there right now. That may turn into a more robust closure in that the duration of the closure increased, we'll probably need to do some more traffic control work out there, so you would likely start to see some of the cones going away and the K-rail going up. But the environmental lineup time frame would allow us to complete construction work. So, for instance, if one wanted to keep the ramps closed but also perhaps flip traffic around, the final build alternative for alternate one under the underpass has traffic lanes going in a different direction, has some increased truck turning movements, you would be able to implement that work after the environmental document is complete.
Got it. I appreciate the clarity, and thanks for asking.
Another way to kind of look at that is when we come back in February with our complete traffic data and analysis, the council could at that time decide to ask staff to pursue an extended closure beyond the 6 months, and we would have to put together a plan which would be a more robust closure. So the 6-month time period was established to give us plenty of time to get past that February date and also our environmental document.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Those are my questions, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Just kind of prompt one question. That has to do, would we need the ramps to actually do the construction? I mean, obviously, with one of the alternatives that you can't build it with the ramps in place, but with alternative one, would we need the ramps in order to complete that construction?
So if the city chose alternative one as our construction path forward, it would be advisable to keep the ramps available for us during that construction window. In that, when we do work on Camino Mercado, it would be nice to take those ramps, construct our improvements, and then allow our users to use Briscoe at that same time. So if we keep those ramps available and viable, we could lessen the construction impacts to our community and probably the duration as well.
And one other question, I don't want to get too much into the weeds on the detail of the project, but in fact, in the end, the configuration of Briscoe is, as I understand it, is kind of the opposite as it is now. Instead of two lanes going east or north, depending on how you consider it, east or north towards Branch, it would actually be two lanes coming west towards Briscoe. So the actual configuration of the layout underneath Briscoe is ultimately going to change anyway.
That is correct. And so the alternative one layout underneath the underpass flip-flops the travel lanes, and which kind of makes sense if you think about it, because our West Branch connection will operate more efficiently. Our El Camino will need more storage, and those additional lanes will provide more storage for that light to cycle through.
And would we then get complete control of the signals since there would be no freeway access at all at that point?
I don't know the answer to that question. It'll be handled in our cooperative agreement. So I think those details are to be ironed out later.
That's all my questions for now. Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. Matt, you talked about dropping possibly there were council members had asked about dropping 4C. Would there be a cost savings associated with that, or will there be a time savings associated with that?
There's depends on when in the project you choose to drop 4C. And so I have a slide. Maybe I can rifle through it. So I wasn't sure if we were going to discuss project alternatives or not, but I kind of jotted down some notes here. So the alternative selection process, and so right now we're down the path of doing a NEPA EA and where our CEQA document's done. And so we could choose to follow down that path, the one we're on right now, and there will be no cost and no additional cost, and the time frame is set as our baseline. If we choose to remove the alternative of 4C roundabout in February 2016, our NEPA document would already be submitted to Caltrans, and so there wouldn't be any cost savings there. But that would necessitate the CEQA document being revised, so additional costs would be incurred there. Because of the shift, the change of how we were going to process our project, it would likely increase our PA and ED completion time frame. And then, of course, the risk of the category exclusion not being signed off by Caltrans in lieu of the EA document. But if we choose to eliminate the 4C roundabout alternative tonight, the NEPA document's not done. It's not complete. So we'll have similar costs to completing the NEPA, completing the CEQA, the revisions that need to occur. So The cost would likely be the same. The time frame would likely be the same. But there's just a little bit more risk that's associated with the environmental document not being being able to be signed off at the end of it.
Okay, so. Thank you for that, Matt. And then so this was a pretty short notice meeting. How did we notice this to the businesses? Did we just post it on the website, the normal flyer out in front of City Hall? There was no newspaper noticing. There were no mailers sent out to anyone surrounding that area on Briscoe or Walmart or anything?
No additional noticing was provided out. I have been in contact with some businesses that, you know, have contacted me, and so I notified them of our meeting tonight, but we haven't done a huge amount of outreach that we'd likely want to do for a decision of this magnitude.
Okay. For the meeting in February, we would plan to do a 10-day noticing as a minimum and do physical mailing of notices.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then the subcommittee meeting that met before our last council meeting, the notes were in our packet. Was there a vote taken? Was there a consensus that came out of that? What came out of that meeting as far as the Briscoe subcommittee?
So the Briscoe subcommittee met, and we were kind of talking over the closure termination date occurring, the upcoming SLOCOG vote, how to balance public input, but making sure we had a good platform to make sure our project moved forward through the funding cycle. And so many things were discussed, the idea of calling special meetings or not. I believe my takeaway from the meeting was we were going to move forward and have this item in early January to discuss it, but we decided to have a special meeting instead to catch up on the closure issue.
Okay, thank you for that. Those are my only questions.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a few questions. What are the estimated costs, or I don't know if you even have these costs, for a continued closure? Does that add to the amount that we're already spending on this long-term project?
It has the possibility to. So right now the ramps are closed, and they're closed in such a fashion that if a vehicle comes near them, something will get knocked over, and we'll have to go and maintain it and put it back up. If we close the ramps for 6 months, I'm estimating that we probably need to keep $5,000 or so to the side to have for maintenance needs, changing delineators, that type of thing. But the unknown is we initially put in an application request for 5 weeks. And so by extending the duration, it's likely the project reviewers will go, you know, this closure was solid, good for a short period of time. We might want to implement a more robust closure. More robust closure has more cost associated with that, and I just don't know what that is at this point in time.
And that would potentially include the K-rails that were talked about. I know they were, and the K-rails are similar to what was used when we had to separate with the Paulding Wall project and things like that. So that would also be an implementation, not only to as an added cost, but also more logistics related to setting up and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the logistics of putting the K-rail down, K-rail has an expense to move and set, right, and then also has some value for time, too. Mm-hmm. So there will be ongoing associated rental costs with that.
Okay. And then, so I guess the other question that I have, I'm very pleased to hear that the SLOCOG, the question that was a concern, at least for me, related to the SLOCOG money being basically confirmed in our as it was intended about a year ago or so. But I guess the question that I needed to ask was, number one, if the option of doing nothing, I think they refer to as the no build, the ramps would be open related to that. So that's still the process. So in other words, if we decide that we don't want to do any build, the ramps would open. if we can't secure the additional funding that we need for the project. It's not like we can bifurcate and say, okay, we still want the ramps closed, even though we can't afford to do what else is needed to balance the project out related to the Grand Avenue modifications and the Camino Mercado modifications and what has to go under Briscoe. So my question would be, do you know if there's any way that that would be feasible or entertained by Caltrans related to, can we just keep these closed if down the road, no pun intended, we have some issues related to whether it's the environmental reports or whether it's funding that we can't secure to complete the project. I think that's something that we should, you know, maybe keep on the back burner. Is that even a possibility?
Sure. So, yeah, the flexibility of opening and closing the ramps in the future is an issue. And so with the six-month closure of Caltrans grants, that we'll have the ability to change our minds if we want to reopen them 3 months in, but it will require some notification to Caltrans and have those ramps reopened. If we go through the environmental process and we decide that the no build is the correct solution for Arroyo Grande, then we'll have the ability to reopen those ramps as well. One of my work items after we kind of do this work is I need to start working with SLOCOG and our designers to come up with a phasing plan for our improvements that better match our funding source. And so that's on my work agenda to complete. And that will include opening ramps, closing ramps, when do the ramps actually get removed permanently, if that's the path forward as well. So
with that information, then, do you think it's possible that we would be able to just keep the ramps closed and not do any other aspects of the project? Would that ever get approved, do you think? Not that I'm going to hold you to it. It's just kind of hypothetically, as I'm trying to fill in the gaps related to, you know, we haven't really discussed that. So
sure, it's just an assumption. It's just my feeling. I feel that we'd be able to keep the ramps closed until we make a construction decision on what path forward we want to have, and that construction decision could be no build. So I think that Caltrans would allow us to maintain the ramps to be closed till we figure out what our plan forward is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm still going to keep that going. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else has pretty much touched on the clarifications that I needed. So that concludes my questions for staff. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So my understanding now on the NEPA document is that that's not been prepared, so there would be no additional cost if the for that part of it, if the one alternative was dropped from the package, as you mentioned.
That's correct. The NEPA document is not complete. We're starting to ramp up with that. So the cost associated with completing the NEPA document would not be incurred. What we'd likely do, if that was our path forward, would be to direct some of that NEPA money into this revising the CEQA document and moving forward that way.
And would that revision be necessitated by removal of that portion of it from the CEQA document?
It would be. So what we want to do with the CEQA document, it has a robust discussion of notification of access limitations to the freeway. So the FHWA will allow the CEQA document to govern for access control issues on the freeway if it's well documented, well advertised, and available for public consumption. It's really a notification process to the public so they know that the access control is changing. I think Roy Granny's done a great job of notifying our public that the access control could be changing already, and so changing the CEQA document at the same time would better convey that as well.
Well, I know, Matt, you've worked very hard on this, and our Caltrans partners have worked very hard on it, and I appreciate all of your efforts on our behalf. Let's see. I think those are most of my questions. It might be helpful if Councilmember Guthrie, who's our representative on SLOCOG, did you want to give us any more of a briefing on the SLOCOG meeting the other day?
I will just add real quick, you know, there was, as you can imagine, when there's very, very limited funding that we had, that there was, let's just say the knives were sharpened at that meeting. And the San Luis Obispo in particular had a very organized effort to, frankly, to move this money to a San Luis Obispo project that I'm going to say, fortunately for us, isn't as far ahead as we are at this point. And that was the desire of SLOCOG, was to fund doable projects. And I think that's the main reason we were able to come through this with a unanimous decision. And, of course, the support of SLOCOG staff didn't hurt either. So any of you that maybe saw that or have the chance to see that, you know, you can see that that the South 227 neighborhood turned out big time in order to try to secure funding for their area. There is a very slight concern about the third year out on this, that some part of that funding may not be available, like $500,000, based on the fact that it's actually, since we've moved it 2 years, that in fact that $500,000 may not be available. We did get full funding, and in the end, it was unanimous after frankly all the other competitors, if you will, kind of fell away. So I am very supportive of the of our partners there as well. I think that's really all I want to add to it. I did appreciate the mayor being there. It was a long day for you, because that first item was never intended to be that long. But I do appreciate you being there and staying till the end. Thank you.
Okay, so we've had the staff report. Thank you. And questions? Is there public comment on this item? Ms. Lara.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Alicia Lara, and I live in the Royal Oaks area, and actually am a representative for the Royal Oaks stakeholders. However, I see a number of my neighbors in the area are here this evening, and they may want to speak themselves this evening. The staff report tonight and the conversation tonight just kind of showed us a little bit more than what we've seen of the complexity of a project of this magnitude, all the little pieces that have to fall into place to make sure that it moves forward, to make sure that not only the people that are living close to the area, but everybody that's using the area, including those merchants that have businesses in the area, get notified. And to that, I would suggest that the city possibly consider a notification email link directly for people that are interested in Briscoe. I noticed that you can get texts and you can get emails when items are announced publicly about areas of interest to you as an individual. And I applaud that effort, because it allows people to go in and select what they want to get emails or texts about. And if you added a link for Briscoe, anytime there was any information change or information that you wanted to get out there, that might be an effective way of doing it. So rumors and fact, it would be another way to dispel rumors. I think it's good to try to get the facts out there. People are highly emotional about this project for a number of reasons, and you can understand why. Some people are emotional because they want good emergency services, and an underpass that isn't congested is very important to them. Other people want to have convenience. Other people don't want to have disruption to their lifestyle. That's important, too. Some people worry about the safety of the children with 4C. There's a lot of passion about this project, and what we really need to do is look at the good of the whole and move forward in that direction. I was encouraged to see the response for this special meeting tonight. That tells me that there's a lot of people that really are interested in it, and it really is still important to this community. So we're here tonight, though, in regard, because I was going to talk about 4C, but you know I always do that. It is my favorite project to let go. I understand why it's probably more cost efficient and time efficient to leave it where it is, and if my hope comes to fruition, let it die its own natural death just because of the cost of it. So I just appreciate the added information about the process so that we could come to that conclusion rather than trying to remove it now at additional cost and time. And because of the slow cog funding thing, we want to make sure that, that we're within the time frame so that we stay ready as a project that's ready and fundable if the council chooses to go in that direction. So as your constituents, we appreciate that the Royal Oaks Group got a place at the table to express our concerns and our opinions and our ideas, because this is important, most important to people that live there, and it affects our lifestyles. But again, we're also users of Briscoe, so that's important too, and we do appreciate the information back and forth, and I think maybe if you added that link, anybody that's interested in Briscoe would have a voice. And also leaving that Briscoe email up is a good idea. So as your constituents, we continue to appreciate the open lines of communication, and I would encourage you just to move forward and request that Caltrans extend the closure for as long as we possibly can until such time as a decision is made with the total project and the direction that we're going to take.
Thank you, and thank you for your support of the efforts along as we've progressed with it, and the suggestions. Appreciate it. Anyone else like to comment?
I'm Mike Furman. I live at 575 Via Vaccaro in AG. I favor keeping the on-ramps closed. My observation has been that, in fact, traffic has improved. Initially, I thought that I wasn't going to like the closures, but the traffic going down the hill to Briscoe has decreased dramatically. There seems to be more time to make that turn and get on and under the underpass. And coming the other direction, I see no problems. So I'm pleasantly surprised at how well traffic is flowing now. I think it's better than it had been, and I favor keeping it closed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to share their experiences with it or make a suggestion?
My name is Tyler Brown. I live on 400 Rodeo Drive in AIG. Been a part of the community 22 years. As I understand it, public comment is specific to tonight's agenda. So all I'll say is that I would like to see the on-ramps continue to be closed. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on this item? Please.
Good evening. I'm Yves Simoneau with my wife, Natalie. We bought the Baja Fresh 5 years ago. And I don't like to talk about complaining in public, but we were increasing the business double digit until September 29th. And when I saw the sign, I said, okay, I understand the purpose of doing a traffic test. But as a business person, I'm using common sense. And I said, okay, they put December 5th, they have maybe plenty of time to do their test. And because it costs me $700 per day, each day since. And in fact, the corporate Baja Fresh, the supervisor came last month. He thought that we were kind of cheating with the sales. But he was coming from LA. When he saw the exit close, he understood why our business were going down. And now I'm late with EDD, the IRS, my landlord. And I don't understand why it has to be closed for so long, when at the first place they put December 5th. And after that, January 11th. And now it's because it's not a construction site presently. And I have a hard time to understand why they put a date and they don't respect that date, because I never decide to put it. I think it shouldn't put a date at the first place. But obviously, I'm very emotional about that, because I put $500,000 in my business, and now it's I can't fight with, you know, a city. sometimes business people we are seen as not evil, but not so welcome. I don't know why, but I couldn't get help from banks and everything. But now I'm against exit closure. And especially during the weekend, people, I'm losing 1,000 per day because people are going to the next exit and they won't come back to go to Bahafish. So but at the first place, since it's not a construction site, I don't understand why it takes so long to have a test, traffic test. That's for me. I don't know why 6 more months to do the test when they can build a rocket from scratch to go to Mars at the same time. It's my business common sense.
And if I can bring another good point, someone was asking what is the cost related to this extended closure, and this is probably the businesses around who's going to pay for all these extended research. So, and it's more money than we think, because even if they reopen, then eventually all these people, maybe they found another place they like to go to eat. They won't come back to us. Our regular customer, they know us, they love us, they know where to get to Baja Fresh anyway, because they're local. But for the new people, the family visiting their people in Rio Grande or Pismo Beach, they won't come back. You know, they just go next exit, they will go to Panera Bread, they will go and Pismo Outlet maybe, and we lose all these people. So I understand the purpose of your research, but, you know, I think not just the citizen has the right to talk, but the business owner. Because if everybody closed down around, I mean, your big ramp won't be used for the people traveling. All the businesses around will suffer from that. So it's really sad. And it's more money than you think. It's a lot of $1,000 a month that we lose.
We are absolutely interested in the input from the business community, and I appreciate your comments. Anyone else like to speak to the item?
I'm Patty. I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande for 17 years. I want to thank whoever is responsible, immensely thank who's ever responsible for having this meeting tonight. To know that we could have gone into January and those ramps would have been reopened, at what cost would have this city had to have paid to close them again? I think it was imperative that we have this meeting and that the people get to speak. I did not like the closure at first. I love the closure now. I can move from one side of town to the other one with ease, and it's great. Jim, if I heard Councilman Guthrie, if I heard you correctly, if we had waited until January 11th, I believe was going to be the next council meeting, to discuss this, the slow cog money could have been gone, it sounds like, because it could have gone to San Luis Obispo. So again, thanks for having the meeting, and please keep the ramps closed. Thank you.
Thank you. Rudy.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Rudy Xavier. I'm a 14-year resident of Arroyo Grande. I love our village and our way of life. And I want to tell you, you've received some opinions lately, and I appreciate very much the staff. It has taken a great deal of time to assemble that information and show it to us graphically, Matt. But, you know, in my previous life, I was vice president, general manager of Xerox. I had responsibility for marketing. I had responsibility for polling. And I want to tell you, there are all kinds of reasons why sometimes you get data which seems to be very much skewed. That data can be done and misconstrued greatly. And I just want to let you know that there is not a unanimous, despite some of the comments you heard, there is not a unanimous view that keeping these areas closed is a good idea. Having a member of the Royal Oaks subdivision, I've represented along with Lisa Lauer and Chuck Cass here. But, you know, folks, we've been studying this proposal for 15 years. The city has spent $2.2 million, and it's going to cost $70,000 just in this one closure. And we're not done. The council's delayed opening twice. Now you're considering keeping it closed again. And I understand the reasons for it. I really do. But, you know, the EIRs are not complete. The traffic data has not been analyzed. Our city manager has verified that. And given these facts, I'd just like to provide another perspective of why there are other ample reasons to reopen the ramps following January 11, 2016. It's not just inconvenient, it causes delays. Let me just tell you a few things about delays. Emergency fire crews, police, and medical particularly, must divert to Briscoe and on up to El Camino, Oak Park, to head north, will suffer three lights on West Branch through congested shopping mall, theater traffic. I've actually spoken to people in the emergency services department, and although they're not willing to speak publicly, God, I have no idea why, they agree that there can be delay. Look, I'm a cardiac triple bypass survivor. I've had my chest opened up. I've had things replaced. I've also been an emergency care attendant or an EMT. So I'd like to tell you that if my heart stops or your heart stops or anybody that you love's heart stops, you've got 4 minutes, 4 minutes to get that restarted or it doesn't work again and your brain begins to die. It's that simple. I hope you get that statistic. That is a medically established data point. The Briscoe closure can add easily 3 minutes to urgent travel time. So let's provide context. My comments tonight will be 3 minutes. Imagine at the end of my context of my comments tonight, I'll have just 1 minute left before I die. I mean, that's the context that you need to be considering whether or not the ramp should be closed. You know, city staff has also confirmed, and I've called today, and thank you, Matt, for those comments, and I've gotten that merchants like Baja Fresh, they have just spoken to you today, they're not the only ones. They've established a 30% loss compared to last year. Other merchants have had the same problem. 7-Eleven on Grand Avenue and others. May I have just a few more minutes?
You can have another minute.
You know, I think what troubles me most, though, is that in order to get these points across to you, we've been all subjected to a rather unusual and very disturbing note that tries to encourage us. You've all seen it. It says, your commute is about to get longer. I don't know whose angry playbook it is on this time, but frankly, you know, if you've got issues, let's bring it up in council, not Congleton. Let's do the right thing. Whose angry playbook is at this time going after the city manager? You know, this is not acceptable. We're not going to allow it this time. We have a good manager today.
If you could limit your comments to the Briscoe incident.
The Briscoe incident has entirely to do, Mr. Mayor, with the way in which it's announced. People receive these notices in their doors. We're not going to stand for this. I think it's a bad thing. We cannot tolerate anonymous cowards providing fact-free, fear-mongering tactics to get us to come to this meeting. This meeting is about whether Briscoe should be closed or open, and there's some good reason why it should stay open, as approved by the council, on the full council, on January 11th. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment on the item?
Good evening. Terry Berkeley. I live in Berry Gardens, or Grande. I just want to say, in 33 years working for a state, I drove fire engines. I drove CHP cars for 21 years. I worked part-time as ambulance. Here locally, I drove the local transit buses with supervisors for them for several years. And the way how that intersection is now closed is a lot better than what it was before. With the transit company, we had trouble getting the buses to remain on time because of the backup. As far as medical response, I think medical responses would be better now because the ambulance company is located right on Briscoe. Now they don't have to deal with that gridlock there to get onto their side of the freeway. And as a respect for Highway Patrol, when I was one, hey, the traffic flows real good there. There's no backup right now. And as far as I'd like to make a comment about the Baja Fresh deal, I don't think the closure is the problem of that because there's no advertisement on the freeway for Baja Fresh. You cannot see it from the freeway. So you got to know where that is in order to get to it. It's not some family getting off at Briscoe, there's Baja Fresh. They can't see it from there. And believe me, I've been at Baja Fresh before the closure, after the closure, and there's reasons why I won't go back. So I don't believe that the closure had anything to do with the business.
Comments to the Briscoe item.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to comment on this item, please?
I'm Wendell Schultz. I live on Emerald Bay Drive, and I've lived in Royal Oaks for about 17 years, and I go through the Briscoe interchange probably several times a week on one of six or seven different paths through there. And I, before the closure for this study, I almost always got through that intersection in one light change. And that's the best you can do. You can't get through an intersection any faster than one light. So I don't really understand what this whole thing is all about. If you think the one light cycle is too long, then go up the street to what's that street up? Oak Park. If you go up to Oak Park, the lights at Briscoe are synchronized on both sides of the freeway. So not only do I get through there in one light change, but they work very efficiently. Yes, there's a lot of traffic there compared to a random intersection. But Oak Park and El Camino, where Oak Park crosses West Branch and crosses the freeway and then crosses El Camino, there's more traffic there, and very often I have to wait for two lights to get through that intersection because those lights are not synchronized. So if people want to complain, why aren't they complaining about Oak Park and the freeway and the two roads on each side of that? And if you're worried about the time, go further down Oak Park to West Grand Avenue near the Vons supermarket. That light is a very busy light. It takes 70 or 80 or 90 seconds to get through that light. That's longer than Briscoe. And I got through the other day before the ramps were closed. Well, it was just regularly operating. I got through there going north in about 40 seconds. I think that's perfectly acceptable. So I don't understand what the problem is. I think we should go back to alternative one, which is do nothing. Stop. Take off the closure for this study, and definitely don't do alternative four with the roundabout and the $23 million that would cost. That would be a terrible waste of taxpayers' money. So I vote for doing nothing. I think the synchronized lights there are working pretty good, and we ought to be satisfied with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment?
Hi, Pat Dempsey in Arroyo Grande, and I'd like to thank the mayor for calling this meeting. Without that, the ramps would have reopened on January 11th. And I'd like to comment on Baja Fresh. We had dinner there last night. It was very good. And I would think that a freer flow under Briscoe might open up a new market on the other side of the freeway for Baja Fresh that maybe they could take advantage of. I'd also like to comment that flyer was not anonymous. I wrote the flyer. We handed out about 300 of them because of the short notice period. Okay. To our knowledge, there's nothing that's erroneous in that flyer. So I'd just like to point that out for whoever cares about it. And the other thing is, the first five times after that closure that I went under that Briscoe off-ramp, I didn't have to stop at all. I'm stopping about one in six times for one light. And usually there's only two or three cars in front of me rather than being backed up. I don't know what that road is that you get off the freeway that parallels 101. But usually you have to stop there, and then you stop once under Briscoe when I come home from work. So I think leaving it closed is going to save everyone a lot of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, staff. Thanks for having the meeting, first of all. I think it would be great if we had a glossary of all the terms. I'm an engineer by basic education, and I also deal with some of the things that we do every day, but I think probably 75% of the people living in Rio Grande don't know what most of the acronyms that you talked about earlier tonight mean. So I think it would be helpful if we gave them a little more information so they're going, what the devil is that form he's talking about? How long does it take and how many pages is it? What does it have to do with me? So that might be helpful. My name is Chuck Cass, and I am one of the people who represents a section of Rio Grande called Royal Oaks, and I like to think that I'm trying to pay attention in my own community because I've lived here for 20-plus years. My wife and I live on Emerald Bay Drive as well. I think the real question here is, what do we need? What are the priorities? What's the affordability of this project in whatever form it takes? What's the return on our investment? Because these are all taxpayer dollars, whether they come from SLOCOG, the state, the federal government, the carvers of Rio Grande, they all come out of all of our pockets. And what are the benefits? Are we going to save time? Is there a safety issue? I have been on this committee as the one of the ad hoc members that meets with the subcommittee for a period of time, and I've never heard an issue that we have a safety issue with the current situation. We have a bottleneck sometimes. We have seen videos of studies of how many lanes go in each direction, how fast it may go or not go with these changes. And then, of course, the old saw is this project came out of a list of priorities that came from the constituency of Arroyo Grande in the 90s. I don't need to tell you that things have changed since the 90s. Just before the bubble burst in 2000, we were all rich on paper, a lot richer than we are today. Some of us haven't made the money back we lost then. So we bought a lot of things at the end of the 90s before the turn of the century. We're a city of 17,000 residents. We have, I don't know how to count the ramps in Rio Grande because they're all makeshift. You know, we've got 5+ ramps in Rio Grande in a 2-mile stretch. And they don't all dump off north and south. And they don't all access and egress north and south. So we have kind of a mishmash of ramps in our town. And there's a lot of that on 101. There's no question about that. I happen to agree that typically we have one lightweight. We really don't. I mean, a lot of us lived in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, wherever, and we live here for quality of life, and I haven't had a one lightweight really affect my quality of life, and I'm really happy to stay here. To spend $14 million I have a hard time getting my arms around that, and I deal with DOD projects every day. To spend $24 million and still have the same size hole under the freeway makes no sense at all to me, no matter how we make it work. I think we're okay with it, and I happen to agree with some of those studies. I take all the ramps to find out what's going on because I get asked lots of questions by the neighbors, by people in Rio Grande, and when I go to sit in the council meeting and I have to make sure that I understand what's been presented by the city manager, by Mr. Guthrie, the mayor, and the mayor, and by the city engineer, I want to make sure that at least I've done my homework. So I would like this to finish the study. If it takes X more months to do that, obviously you've got facts that say 3/4 of the people think it's a positive. Obviously, we've heard tonight some people don't think it's a positive. I think we have to make sure we have our ducks in a row and do it right, and not just keep doing it over. Let's not keep extending the runway at the San Luis Airport piece by piece by piece. You know why we can't get another airline here? The runway's not long enough again. So let's not do this in AG with a ramp that seems to be working right now. I don't know how to send a message a better way than to tell you that I think you guys are starting to really listen to us, and I hope that continues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you also for your participation as well as Mr. Xavier. Would anyone else like to comment? Okay, hearing no more comment, we'll close the comment period and come back to the council for discussion. Start with Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, I will, unless we get off in some other area, limit my discussion to what's before us tonight, which is the closure of the ramps. I guess I'll just start by saying that it's never really been any secret that the prize in all of the work that we've considered in the Briscoe area has been the removal of the lights for the off on and off ramps at Briscoe, and opening up that area to allow free flow of traffic between the two sides of our city, because that in fact all of the studies showed that was the majority of the traffic demand at that location. The issue has always been that what impact does closing those ramps have on the other access points on the freeway? And that's what we've been dealing with for 12 years, and $2 million is trying to identify, because we're only going to get one shot. When we give up those ramps, we will never get another set of ramps back. And because of that, we have done a number of studies. In fact, I was the first one to suggest that we look at closing this as a study, but also in my mind with the idea that going forward we might be able sort of to enjoy the benefit of it today if in fact we can handle the closure and still build for the future, meaning that there's still a lot of development that at least we believe is going to take place, both in the immediate area, both up on the Mesa, considering that there are two hotels going in Grover Beach and Pismo Beach that will have even a stronger impact on Oak Park. So when we displace this traffic to other intersections, we have to be mindful of the fact that what we see today isn't the final picture. And we need to ensure that we have in place both a plan and funding to be able to deal with that before we give up the ramps. So with that said, I mean, if I frankly am very surprised that Caltrans is open to a temporary long-term closure of the ramps. That in fact was communicated to me even earlier this year at SLOCOG meeting that as a rule Caltrans does not permit temporary closures of any ramps. It's frankly all or nothing. Tests, absolutely, but actual closure. Even this closure, as was noted in one of our meetings, that is way past anything Caltrans has ever done before, to have almost a 3-month test. So my inclination, unless I hear something really significantly different, is that if Caltrans will in fact extend this for 6 months, guaranteeing that we'll be able to reopen them if in fact we have some sort of an issue, then I'm fine with that. I still am a little bit concerned that's not going to be the deal that we get, but I hope that it is. I do want to add the comment that, and this is maybe in form of a question for later, and that is that if in fact we do proceed with leaving the ramps closed, that we have some idea of the cost, because I would think that tonight we're going to need to approve, if Caltrans came back and said we want K-Rail, I don't think you have a budget to put in K-Rail on the 11th. So that's, I don't know, why don't we go ahead and ask the question there, and then I'll finish my comment. Sorry, I didn't mean to do it that way.
We actually do have, we had a fairly robust closure budget to begin with, thinking that Caltrans was going to require K-Rail in the first place. We have been using cones and enjoyed that cost savings. We could implement a more robust closure if required by Caltrans. We might have to come back in the interim and seek additional funds from council to cover the maintenance cost of that.
Well, isn't a K-Rail based on a monthly rental price? I just remember that even a 2-month rental was $40,000. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong, but you know, it was a very high number. So a 6-month rental would be $60,000.
It's expensive to rent, but it's even more expensive to place. And so the 2-month rental was $40,000. I believe 30 of that was the actual lifting up and putting back down. So moving it around is expensive.
Okay. Expenses, okay, that included the expense. Okay, so I'm glad to clarify that we wouldn't need to take some other action tonight. So as I say, I'm fine with this. I do think that the ramps have worked better. I'm sympathetic to the business here, and that if in fact we get to February and we have a lot of report of businesses that have trouble or new reports, because frankly as was noted, the comments were good, and we've gotten a lot of comments, but they're primarily from the area most affected, which is the Rodeo Drive, the Rancho Grande area, and we haven't heard a lot of comments from outside of that area, and I'm not sure we're going to, because it really for 90% of what you do during the day, it does work better. It's that 10% that are going to be heavily affected. And I've heard people who now can't get out, who take El Camino to Oak Park, and now can't make that right turn to get into left turn to get onto the freeway because there's so much more traffic there. Why they don't just go down Grand Oak Park, I had to ask them, but. So that I think those kinds of things are out there as people find their way around, and that's part of what's happened over the years. If we'd had this discussion 12 years ago that said we were going to close these ramps and do nothing, that would have been a dead loser 10 years ago. And today things have evolved differently, and maybe they will evolve differently in the future. I think that's what we will see when we actually do the data study in February and we actually look at the longer term. Traffic, I'll call it a study, although I still think they're guesses, but going forward. So I'm fine with going forward as long as we definitely include in there that this is a temporary closure and that, frankly, at any time we could reopen them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to say this is the most amount of any sort of response, the highest response I've seen since I've been involved with Arroyo Grande politics, and I think a large part of that is related to the internet. So that's part and parcel of we're moving into a new age. I take exception to the idea that a grassroots discussion and a grassroots effort to get people down here is somehow fear-mongering. It's not. Everybody has a right to express their opinion for or against whatever issues before us. And the greater we get notice out to people so that they can do that, the better off we are, regardless of what your opinion is. So I take exception to the idea that anything that was done by Mr. Dempsey or anybody else is fear-mongering. Secondly, Ms. Laura mentioned a way of noticing people kind of in this electronic age. I think that's a fantastic thing. I can't tell you how many projects or issues come up where people bitch like mad that they didn't get notice. So I'd like to find a way in this electronic age for whatever project comes forward to let people know, because I think that's a great way to do it. The response was overwhelmingly positive, and it wasn't a form letter that somebody signed on the bottom and just sent in because somebody handed it to them. They were thoughtful comments. 75%. That's something to be listened to. And that's not to discount Baja Fresh or the minority that might say, no, we don't like it. It's just something that we need to observe and take notice of. Do I think we should try to help our businesses that are struggling if we can? Yes, I do. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore the issue of the on-ramps and off-ramps. And obviously, maybe doing nothing is the right answer, because I'm still curious where we're going to get all the funding. That's a huge issue for me. It's like we're in a period where money's a lot tighter than it used to be. I mean, and when we started this whole process, Alt 4C was probably doable. It's so far from doable now, I don't even want to go there, because that's not really what the issue is at hand. But the whole point is, doing nothing is an option that we will need to consider. But when I look at the comments that we've gotten, we absolutely should keep the ramps closed for a six-month period. We should notify the businesses more robustly so that if there is greater response and greater grief over what's going on, that needs to be heard. But most of the citizenry that I've heard from has been overwhelmingly positive. So I'm for moving forward for a six-month period. My hope is, as Matt said, that we'll have the results of what we need to do to make a determination from then and go forward. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. Matt, can I just ask you a question? When you put the numbers up of the survey that we, or the Briscoe comments, do I have these correct? 73 were yes, 16 were no, 10 were neither. I mean, they were just sort of comments or suggestions. Is that correct?
It's percentages.
Yeah, there's percentages.
Okay, what was the total number of people that responded?
195 contacts.
195,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so I would just say that we have 17,000 people in Arroyo Grande, and while I am enjoying the on-ramps and off-ramps being closed because it's definitely easier to get through there, I think that 17,000 people that live here, we had 195 respond, not necessarily a good sampling of maybe people that don't live in that neighborhood, because I think that, like Jim talked about, most people that we've heard from live, they're directly impacted by that. So I would just bring that up, because it's 195 is not a ton of people. I do think that Briscoe is functioning better since it's been closed. I do live on that side of the freeway over off of James Way. Well, now I live in the village, but I did up until recently. I think that there are a lot of things to consider besides the ease of getting through the intersection. I did talk to the manager of San Luis Ambulance today because I was concerned. We did receive an email from a citizen who brought up the fact that she watched the ambulance come under the freeway, and they had to go up the frontage road, and they had to go through three different signals before they could get on to go northbound. And it took some time for them to get up there. The gentleman did say that his preference for the ambulances is to be able to get on Briscoe and go north when there's no traffic. So 40% of the time, and this was him taking a stab at it, 40% of the time, the buses, well, ambulances, that's what people call them, buses, the ambulances come out, and if there is traffic, which is 40% of the time in Briscoe when they aren't, when it's not closed, they go El Camino Real to Oak Park. Of course, we know Briscoe is impacted and there is traffic. So the other times, he's able to get through. But that's his preference, is what he said, because he can get right on the freeway when there's not traffic. And there's not always traffic at Briscoe. I live there. I go back and forth. And a lot of times, during certain times of the day, there's no one there. And I'm talking about before the closure. So we have to consider that. We also have to consider the businesses. I'm a little bit concerned that we are talking about extending the closure when we've extended it once already. And I was okay with that because I wanted to get through the holiday season and see what a very busy time of the year, how it would function. I think that the meeting, we didn't maybe have enough time to reach out. We didn't have the proper noticing. I would love to hear from other businesses that maybe haven't been affected. I'm just not sure they know that we're extending the closure, and I don't know if they would know to come here and speak. Baja Fresh, $700 a day, that's a lot of money. It's for a small business owner such as the people that spoke here. So I would say that I will go along with the majority of the council if we would like to extend the closure, and again making sure that we would be able to open it up if we needed to. And I'm very much looking forward to February, where we have the data that comes back, because right now we have anecdotal data, but we don't have numbers of traffic counts. And also for that meeting, you know, a real robust noticing of all the businesses would be very important to me. And so those are my comments. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's wonderful to see the variety of our citizens here speaking to us about such an important project. It's probably one of our biggest projects that we're tackling, and a very important project. Like Councilmember Guthrie indicated, this is also looking down the road, again, no pun intended, in the future, related to other growth, not only of our city, but some other things going on in our sister cities. I also appreciate all of the public taking time to email us with their comments related to not only their opinion about the decision that we need to make tonight, but also expressing their personal experiences, you know, how often they go through the ramps, different times of day, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think that's very important for us, not only to hear from you, but to have that access through the .org and other contact information. I thought the suggestion about maybe adding that link related to Briscoe, I think that is a very wise suggestion. I don't know, related to how to, with the business owners as busy as they are with their 24/7 duties that they have with their businesses, I don't know if Facebook is another alternative. The majority of the businesses do a lot of their promotion on Facebook, and to perhaps reach out via Facebook to get them directly involved, even to, you know, make some kind of comment to help guide us. It's very concerning to me as we continue to try to promote our business community. It's very concerning that we have a small business owner that has been very much impacted by this closure. With that said, there's also a bigger picture needing to, you know, be considered relating how you weigh that, considering the community as a whole. So that one's a tough one for me. I also feel that it doesn't make sense to open them up to get information in February that might suggest that there's some other need to do another full closure. Maybe data was omitted, or whatever the findings might be. So that seems a little incongruent to open them to have the possibility of closing and another 70 or 800 grand out the window to close them again. So because our data is coming in February, because we have some other time frames that have been indicated tonight, it makes sense to proceed with an extension, I believe. I really would like to, if I need to do personal reach out to the businesses between now and February, I'd be more than happy to help the city with that. We could also put some kind of notification through the chamber, who has a link to all of our small businesses, and they can do an email blast to help get that word out as another recommendation. So that would really be my focus on wanting to hear. I think we've heard, and thank you again for the public comment, but we have another segment in our community that's very important to us, and I would really like to hear from them. So that's pretty much that. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for coming out and sharing their thoughts on it with us, and also remind everyone that we do have still the Briscoe at arroyograndy.org website or email address, and please, if you've not already submitted comments to that, you can express opinions there of your experiences and so forth. I appreciate everyone who has done that. My reason for calling this special meeting this evening was to because we had an issue with getting it on a prior agenda that we would have the time to keep the ramps open should the council decide to do that, with advice of the residents of the city. And if that choice was to be made, that it would avoid the cost of closing and reopening the ramps. Several issues were brought up tonight. I very much respect the business owners from Baja Fresh, and thank you for sharing your opinion. Let me suggest an alternate way of looking at the facts, and that is that coincidentally with the closure of the ramps at Briscoe, the Hagen's grocery store also closed their doors. And we have currently two grocery stores in Rio Grande, and I don't want to divert too much, but I think it's an important point. We have two grocery stores here, Trader Joe's and Smart and Final, and what I've seen is that the parking lot at Trader Joe's is jammed to the max with people who may have otherwise gone to Albertsons or Hagen's and can no longer go there. And I would suggest that possibly the log jam in the parking lot there is also something that is effect perhaps being felt, where possibly people are not going there because they can't find a place to park. So that's just another potential. It would take quite a bit of data crunching, I think, to actually figure out the true cause there. I am very much concerned with Councilman Guthrie's comment, and I think that's the reason for the test closure in the beginning, is we want to make sure that we're not taking a big problem and moving it somewhere else. And that's the point of doing the traffic studies. You've all seen the hoses and stuff across the roads at various places in the city. Those are the cameras that are measuring the traffic counts, and that's the objective that we, City Engineer Horn and others, will bring to us in February with the results of that. And again, thank you very much for the detailed work on that. So we're looking forward to get that information in February, and not to move one problem to another location. Next issue, emergency response time. Councilmember Barnidge indicates that almost half of the time the ambulances couldn't get through Briscoe because of a log jam there. And Rudy, that's 4 minutes. I've waited easily four cycles of the lights there to get through that many times. And the important point is not for the ambulance to get on the freeway to go somewhere else. It's for them to get to your house. That's the 4 minutes that are critical. So I think the closure has made it easier, at least anecdotally, and we do need to follow up with real data on that, to get people and emergency responders to the residents who need that response as quickly as possible. What I'm seeing is that it appears that that's the case now with the closure. Data that will be brought forth in February hopefully will reinforce that. Further issues of cost. The CEQA document, I think it's unfortunate that we couldn't have perhaps dropped the 4C item before we got through the CEQA document. It is what it is. I would ask that as we go forward, be sensitive to the cost. We have the SLOCOG report that indicates that $10 million is unfunded from the 4C option, and call it 11 if you add in 10% for administration and finance charges. That's about $735 per individual in the city, which seems to me to be probably unachievable. And the amount that the city engineers indicated that we would have to put aside to maintain in case somebody knocks over the barricades that we currently have in place is about 35 cents per individual. So I'm very sensitive to the relative costs of things as well. So taking all of that together, it seems to me that having the test closure extend into a temporary closure for 6 months as recommended by staff is an appropriate thing to do and probably a wise thing to do. We'll save money of going back and forth, opening and closing ramps, which is what I did not want to see happen. I would request that we do move ahead with continuing the closure, sending that request to Caltrans. I know that our partners at Caltrans have worked very hard with the city staff to make sure that this works well. And again, we welcome their participation and their help with this. 6 months will give us enough time to probably translate into, if we want to do that, a longer term, more robust, as the city engineer indicated, temporary closure going forward. Hopefully that would be at minimum cost, but I also note that whichever build alternative is selected, closure of the ramps is part of it one way or the other. So it seems to make sense to look forward to giving staff the time to appropriately, and I think the six-month temporary closure extension would allow staff to do that, to work up the necessary requests to Caltrans to continue with a longer-term, more robust closure there. So I'm in support of the staff recommendation to make the 6 month closure and present in February what the results of the traffic study are, and I look forward to that.
Can I ask a follow-up question, please?
Please.
Matt, on the orange sign that's on Briscoe, that where we invite feedback with the email address, do you know the one I'm talking about? I mean, there's probably a couple, but I went right underneath St. Patrick's on the hillside.
I do, yep, yeah.
That's
actually
it.
A photo of it.
Is there a way that we could possibly, and I know the normal public, you know, hearing notice is huge, and we don't want people to sit there and read it while they're trying to make a left or right-hand turn, but could we, when we have the February meeting, could we possibly put, let us hear what you think about this closure, or something short, and put the date of the meeting that's coming up, so that business owners, perhaps if they don't get the notice, or if they, you know, there's maybe an alternate business owner that's not in town or something, that they possibly see the February date, and then they could come and give us their feedback.
Absolutely, yeah, it's a great idea. We can do that.
But something short, so that
short,
like that was great, because you can read it pretty quickly.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
Can I ask a quick additional follow-up question as well?
Please, any other questions?
You guys come back in February. Will you be coming back with the funding options in February?
Can you just keep it down? He's talking right now, and we can't hear over.
I'll repeat it. So when we come back in February, will you be bringing back the funding options at that time, or is that part of that much bigger report?
Oh, the phasing plan? I would like to be able, I'd like to be in a position that I can discuss with you the different phasing options for the 3.3 in two fiscal years, and I'm planning on starting working on that immediately. I don't know if I'll be in that position, but I'll work to have that done.
I'd love to see it at that point. I certainly don't want to get in the way of any of the environmental work that
sure,
because we need to keep that process going as well.
Yeah.
Just wanted to ask real quick. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Mr. Mayor, if I might just comment on the request for website notification and things like that without having thought it out yet, but I have my brain working towards this. We do have options on our website and tools that we have a built-in Notify Me module. With the reason why I wanted to bring it up was for the benefit of the public, and so people can hear that we have the potential to set up a specific category for notifying the public about updates on either the project, the closure, but it's going to be really important that people subscribe, because it's a subscription-based notification program. So it could be labor-intensive to put in the emails addresses of those comments we have received, but if we have, you know, interns that might be able to do that. And of course, sometimes we don't really know if people want to be notified all the time, but I would assume that the people that have commented would want to continue to be notified. So we do have those features available on our website. It just will take time to, you know, construct it. And I would just encourage that when, you know, we could potentially release a press release, that we have that feature and encourage the public to actually sign up and subscribe to those notifications, similar to the agendas. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you very much for that. And I know that's a great feature of the site, and I know it's a lot of effort on the part of the clerk's staff, and we very much appreciate it.
So I'll make the motion that we do, in fact, send the rider through to Caltrans requesting a six-month extension of the closure of Briscoe.
Second.
Okay. A question on that. Would we also direct staff to come back in February with the...
I thought that was a given, but...
Yeah, that's number two.
Yeah.
Is it number... Okay.
Yeah. So direct staff to return to council on February 23rd with test closure data analysis. Yeah.
I'll include that in the motion if you don't want it done in two motions.
My motion stays. Okay. Holds, yes, thank you.
All right, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes.
Okay. Just one comment, Mr. Mayor, if I might.
Yes.
I just want to point out that we had to have a special meeting, and look at all the turnout for both sides. Both sides of this issue have strong opinions. So I hope it's a learning experience that we know when there's an important item that it should be put on the agenda. This cost extra money to have the video people here. It cost extra staff time. And so I just hope as a learning experience we understand that we should avoid having special meetings whenever possible and try to get things on agendas in a timely manner, because I think it would have been a shame had we waited until the 12th and then found out that we had strong opinions on one side or the other. So just an observation.
If I can make an additional comment as well then. Please. Yeah, I do think the right time to actually have put this was long ago when we decided on February 12th that if we were going to consider an extended, that was the time to do it, not the day after Thanksgiving.
No, I agree.
Okay.
So I absolutely agree with you.
Any other closing comments?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Again, thank everyone for coming out and sharing your opinions. Please continue to do so.
Without.
I'll move for adjournment.
Second.